This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're with Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning, darling.
Good morning, Melbourne.
How was your weekend, darling?
I had a fabulous weekend.
Yes,
thank you. Yeah, I was outside quite a bit on the weekend.
Yes.
How was yours?
So was I. I was outside. I was house-sitting. I house-sat the most beautiful home that you can ever imagine.
Really?
And I didn't want to leave. And I'm not used to having dogs, right? I've never had an animal in my life because of my parents, the Greek garden. But I had two little dogs.
Oh,
and
nice.
And, darling, it was amazing.
Did you enjoy their company?
Loved them. Queen Sheba and Wally. It took me about 2 days to actually work out their names.
Queen Sheba and Wally. How good is it having little animals in your life?
I kept calling Wally Benji. And then had to look at his name tag and go, oh, my God, his name's Wally.
He was probably looking, going, oh, can she get my name right?
Exactly.
This morning at the tram stop, something always happens at the tram stop.
Yeah, with you, I've noticed. There was, start hanging out at that tram stop.
There's a group of, an apartment block opposite.
Yes.
So I was standing at the tram stop and so were two girls.
Right.
And someone, there was dark, I couldn't see up there. And you know, the street lights are sort of blinding me, so I couldn't see, but I know it's up there.
Blinded and
someone comes out and they go, hey, you, hey, the guy down there at the tram stop, do you want to come up and have some fun?
Oh.
And then this girl comes out and goes, yeah, hey, come up, we're up here. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. The tram couldn't come quick enough this morning.
You could have been upstairs in an apartment
right now
partying. Instead, we're providing the music.
I don't know what it was.
She gets them to tune into us.
Yeah, and he goes, and so I couldn't see them, so I didn't respond. And he goes, okay, well, have a good day at work in your boring job.
We got that right.
Yeah. Yes. No, he didn't.
No,
I love doing this.
I know you
do. Hey, coming up, do your choices in life make you happy?
Well, I'm looking at one of my choices right now. I'm not quite sure about it. No, absolutely.
Because one of them's really important.
So I had a few friends over because I'm house-sitting this incredible mansion, right?
Yeah, it was a beautiful place.
How beautiful is the place, right?
It's just lovely.
Well, anyway, I had a couple of friends over. I find most of my female friends are really hot because at some point, at some stage, I had the hots for them. Yeah. But I noticed there was a little bit of chemistry between you and Kylie.
Yeah.
And now, you're a gay man.
Absolutely.
And you were flirting and she was flirting.
Was I flirting?
Both of you, like I noticed that you got shy with a couple of things and you're kind of acting a little bit differently to how you normally act. And I thought, what's going on here? Is he feeling insecure or is he trying to impress this girl? Like you were behaving like somebody that is actually kind of crushing on somebody. And I was so confused because I was like, no, maybe I'm imagining it. But as the night proceeded, I noticed even more so.
You know, I think...
I felt like kicking your hands and going to my lunch bar.
I hadn't really thought about it, but there was certainly some... there was some energy between us when we were talking, and I don't know. Like we tended to just break off into a discussion.
Well, you not only broke out into a discussion, but then you both moved over to the lounge room and hung out on your own. But thank God me and Beck like each other. But you know what I mean? It was like, what was going on there? Let's unpack this.
You know what? I think it was just an attract. She was a lovely person.
Yes.
And
she's hot.
She's a very attractive girl.
Did that come into play so while you were with her, or were you just going on the energy?
No, I was just going on the energy.
Yeah, of course.
I was just going on the energy. I'm attracted to people that have a really nice energy and we click and there's a chemistry there. And it was happening with us.
Yeah, maybe you were attracted to her being attracted to you, though.
Maybe. I hadn't analysed it that much. Yeah. But we just hit it off. She was a lovely girl.
So
but
did you exchange numbers?
I did detect something.
Oh, crack it. You don't touch my friends, buddy. Like, stick around in your own circle.
I'm not going to go there. I did detect.
Go back to being gay. I'm not comfortable with
it. I am gay, but I did detect. I did detect something, I must admit. You know, the little flashlights were flashing. And it was nice. Of course it is.
It's kind of funny.
But she knew. But I wouldn't know. I mean, what would I do? I'd have to ring you and say, Anastasia, what do I do next?
What do I do
next?
All I would say is put a nose peg on.
I would probably do that. There's a new app. You might find it good, actually.
Yes.
There's a new app.
Well, what are you saying? I don't know what to do with a woman in
bed. Well, maybe not. You could improve. And you know what it's called? OMG.
Oh, my God. It's my app.
It's your app.
Oh, my God. It's Anastasia.
And you know, you should go because it's all about exploring yourself.
I could either do that with an app or with a woman.
Well, you can do it. Well, no, because you can learn about yourself as well.
Oh, okay.
With this app and it teaches you all about, you know.
Is there a lot of mirror work in this?
I don't know. I haven't got it, but it offers videos, images, and the phone app also allows users to observe, practice, and master stimulation techniques either alone or with a partner.
Sounds like a bit of light porn for oneself. But hey, are you kind of considering maybe exploring this app?
No,
if you were to pursue Kylie,
I'm not going to pursue her. But I like the idea of learning about people,
absolutely,
and how people work. I'm fascinated by people.
Yes, yeah,
I think this is really good, and it's all about you improving yourself and what you like.
Yes,
without having to necessarily go to a workshop or something like that. So you can do it. Anyway, it's an educational tool and it's really popular.
It's great. I think you should download it after the show.
I'm going to download
and start practicing.
And learn about you. I'm not practicing on you. When you make a decision, what do you base it on? Like, how do you make sure that when you make a decision about something, so let's say you're buying, I don't know, could it be anything, could be fruit. How do you make a decision that it's going to make you happy?
That's a really good question. I used to call everybody. So if I was, let's say I was buying a mango, I'd probably call about 25 people and say, do you think I should buy it? Do you think? I just trust my body. I just trust how I'm feeling. I know that sounds a bit too spiritual for breakfast radio, but I just notice what's going on in my body. I'm getting rid of the should. The word should plays around in my mind, and if that's playing too much, I don't buy it.
And so we make decisions about everything, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We make them about what we eat, what we wear.
Yeah.
Where we're going to go,
yes.
Who we're going to see.
Yes,
and there's
absolutely.
So many decisions being made all the time.
Yeah, and I don't get this right all the time. In fact, I'm still working on this, is I always think about a decision and I think, what's motivating my decision? Is it fear? Is it fear-based, or is it making me feel good? Like, why am I actually making this decision? And then it makes it a lot easier. Rather than going, shall I do it?
So you don't necessarily.
So listen to what's actually going on.
So what is behind the decision as opposed to weighing up the pros?
Yeah, is it fear-based or is it because I really want to do it? Does it excite me?
There's a neuroscientist who studies decision-making.
Right.
And he's done it for over a decade. And he says the surest way to maximise happiness has nothing to do with decisions made about experiences, material goods, or personal philosophy. He says it's all about who you decide to spend time with.
Wow.
So maybe our other decisions aren't so important. His neuroscience research has found that when two people are in each other's company, their brainwaves will begin to look nearly identical.
Wow.
How's that?
I need to stop hanging out with you, yeah.
So one study, you're going to become
actually,
a
nerd. You should stop hanging out with me.
One study of moviegoers, for instance, found the most engaging trailers all produced similar patterns in people's brains.
Wow.
And he says the more we study engagement, we see time and time again that just being next to certain people actually aligns your brain with them based on their mannerisms, the smell of the room, the noise level, and heaps of other factors. So it means that people you hang out with actually have an impact on your engagement with reality beyond what
you
can explain.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, though. It's all about energy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He says, and one of the effects is you become alike.
Yeah, of course you do.
So the conclusion that he says is people want to maximise their happiness.
You date a dog, you become a dog, you know what
and,
I mean?
And minimise their stress.
Or a bitch in my case.
They should build a life that requires fewer decisions.
Yes.
By surrounding themselves with people who embody traits they prefer.
Yeah.
So how's that?
Makes a lot of sense to me.
So you're saying we just need to really be hanging out with people that, you know, we like. And that,
absolutely.
And that we like their qualities, their values and all that sort of thing. And we'll all...
And if they're not aligned, you're going to feel like crap and you're going to make crappy decisions.
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Tell
Love
them to
it.
Disappear. So it's all backed by science now. Hey, Anastasia, guess what I did on the weekend?
What are you doing?
I booked a holiday.
Oh, my God, how fantastic. I know you told us about it on Saturday night and couldn't stop talking about it. So now you've got to tell the listeners about it. How exciting.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to Japan.
Oh, my God, I've always wanted to go to Japan, darling.
I haven't been before, and it means that it's my dream. I'll be able to ski, on my,
get to have
ski on my birthday. Yeah, I can too. Really excited about it.
It's real. Oh, well, you love skiing. Have you always wanted to go to Japan?
Yeah, I've always wanted to.
Why have you been interested in Japan?
Because it's amazing skiing.
Yeah.
And it's not as expensive as going to Europe or Canada.
Oh, okay. I've always been interested in Japan because the cuisine. I always
the
judge
food
countries
as well,
by
yeah.
cuisine. And I went, they always get it right. And they're very innovative. People. Japan isn't scared to bring stuff out, right?
Not at all.
You know. So
I can't wait. But interesting, I was reading an article where researchers had asked travellers about their motives for travelling.
Yeah, right.
And the result results are a little bit depressing because what they found was people are starting to choose holiday destinations based on the symbolic value of social media posts.
You're kidding,
so
right?
But in other words, they're in the short term anyway, short-term holidays. So they might say long-term, I want to travel to South America, or I'd like to travel around Europe at some start, I'd like to work in the UK, whatever. But in the short term, if they're going on their holidays, they're doing it because they'll look good on social media.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that quite scary?
It's actually really depressing.
As opposed to...
Thanks for... You've just depressed me now. So let me... I'll book a holiday just to see how the backdrop looks fantastic. Do I look great in this
selfie? Look good?
Oh, it's blue. It's gorgeous. That's shocking.
So if you were choosing to go somewhere, what criteria would you use to pick a destination?
The cuisine.
The food?
The food, definitely. And it's recommendation. Basically.
Yeah, based on experience
on experience.
Yeah. And I always like to go somewhere that I haven't been before. So rather than going necessarily to the same place over and over again, I think that's really good. And I think the other thing is also to get away from tourists.
Yeah, absolutely.
If possible.
I don't like doing the touristy thing. I think that when I do travel and if I go to countries, I like just actually stay in a place for a given time rather than just stopping by for 3 days because I really want to feel the experience of being somewhere.
Absolutely.
Getting into their culture and how they live rather than just, you know.
And meeting the locals as well.
Exactly.
But one thing I find at odds with this study is, so I always make sure I try and have a social media break.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I'm on holidays. You know, you might post an occasional pic or send some to some people, but in my last holiday in the UK, I had a complete break from social media
for
a few weeks. And it was really good because the whole holiday.
You weren't too busy going, oh, look, I'm going to Snapchat this now because I'm eating those.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was at this little thing here.
And interestingly, that holiday, I remember more detail about than previous holidays where I perhaps haven't had that break from social media.
How exciting, though, you're going to Japan.
I know, I can't wait. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Congratulations, darling.
Thank you. Victorian police officers have called for new pants after reporting their current uniforms are splitting at the crotch.
You're kidding, right?
No, when they're trying to arrest people, apparently they go
Police. Oh, no way.
Police officers have reported poor quality and ill-fitting pants. And
Hold on.
One of them said, our members tell us that the cut of the pants limit their movement when they are required to execute some of the defensive techniques they are trained to perform and are particularly limiting when they're required to complete routine policing tasks such as jumping fences.
That's hysterical. I've just had a visual of chasing a thief or whatever and then finally getting them and going, hold on, back to the wall, and, you know, covering your crotch. You got one arm in the handcuff and the other one covering your crotch.
And then...
And
then you just hear a ripping sound.
Oh, my God.
And quite, they said many have reported that the pants split at the crotch easily and are particularly prone to do so when executing a common arrest tech.
How would you take a cop seriously if they've got a split crotch? I'd say, buddy, who is he? Slip, show me your ID.
But it might mean
hold on, it's in my back pocket.
I haven't actually checked out their uniform, but are their pants too tight or something? Do they look...
Look, I haven't noticed because it's not my fetish, but I'll start looking now if you want me to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wonder.
What is it? If you do know what it is about...
If you're a cop, SMS us and let us know if you're really frustrated with the pants that you got on.
These harassment cases are coming out of the movie industry aren't they? Left, right and centre.
Yeah,
so totally. Rebel Wilson's the latest actress to share her story of alleged sexual harassment. In a series of tweets on Saturday, she claimed she was once sexually harassed by one of her male co-stars while his friends tried to film the incident on their phone.
That is just unbelievable, isn't it?
Absolutely. And she also alleged that following the incident, she was threatened by one of the star's representatives to be nice and support the male star. How bad's that?
It's disgusting, actually. It's so good that all these stories are coming out, though.
Absolutely.
Even for the reason that if someone is reading and thinking about their own experience, that they can relate and actually do something about it.
And, you know,
it's empowering.
At dinner, when we had that dinner on the weekend, people were we're all talking about it too.
People feel validated because it's coming out and people aren't shaming around it and thinking they were the only ones. So it's great.
Starting lots of conversations.
Starting a conversation, yeah.
And Wilson has said, I feel lucky that I grew up in a pro-female environment going to an all-girls high school and that I have such a strong sense of self and have taken self-defense classes. I had the ability to escape both incidents, and I realized not everyone is as lucky.
Yeah.
So, and she also went on to say that in the future, if I witness this behavior, and I think this is really good of her to say this, if I witness this behavior, whether it happens to me or someone I know, I will no longer be polite.
Mm, absolutely.
And she says, interpret that as you will.
Yeah.
And we discussed that Friday, didn't we?
So absolutely.
Another one. How many more are there going to be?
Yeah, I think it's going to... Oh, it's a ripple effect, isn't it?
Absolutely. The result of the postal survey comes out Wednesday.
Wow.
What are you going to do?
It's a bit like the election. I think it's at 10 o'clock they announce it, and it'll be like, you know, 30 seconds of an announcement. And what am I going to do? I'm going to wait and hear it. I'll be working, but...
So you'll be with people.
I'll be with people.
Leading health organisation for our community, ACON, has published a handy guide that offers practical advice on how to take care of your mental health in the lead up to and following the postal survey announcement, regardless of the result. ACON CEO Nicholas Parkhill said a deeply divisive nature of the debate has left their mark on our communities, and a yes result will go a long way to healing some of this trauma, but the debate will continue on until the Australian government enacts reform and ends marriage discrimination. And the Stronger Together resource urges the community to consider where you want to be and who you want to be with when the result is announced on Wednesday morning, reminding us that it's important to be around loved ones.
Absolutely. And you know what else is really fantastic? Joy is going to dedicate a whole day to the postal survey. So everything that's going to be on air is going to be all about that. So if you don't have any support, just tune into Joy 94.9 and you've got it there.
Tune into Joy. That's all you really need to do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
One good thing, though, the guide also advises that it's okay to step away from social media during the debate.
Yeah.
Which will continue to range on regardless of the result.
Mm. How are you feeling about it?
I'm a bit nervous, actually, yeah. I must admit. As I was reading this, I was thinking, you know what, I haven't thought about what I'm going to do on Wednesday. Mm. I mean, I have a bit of work in that to do to distract me, but I haven't thought about what I will do. And, yeah, I think we do have to plan.
Absolutely. Hey, now, listen, we've got the fantastic Matt from Soul Provider that does one of our favourite shows on Wednesday nights, usually between 11 and 12, but this Wednesday, because of postal survey, he's going to give us a two-hour special devoted to the postal survey result.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're great. How are you feeling about all of this, darling?
Yeah, look, I'm a little bit nervous as well, and I suppose I hadn't really considered, you know, that it might be a no. I've always just thought, oh, yeah, you know, it's just a given that it'll be a yes. But look, I'm doing a special two-hour show on Wednesday night, kind of in celebration, hopefully, but I'm hedging my bets that it's going to be a yes, and it's a bit of a party show, so it's a big old 90s party fest, and I don't know what I'm going to do if it's a no. I'm
well, look, if it's a no...
Same thing, but
if it's a no, just cram up Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, and depress people.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, people are going to need uplifting music anyway, aren't they?
Exactly. So either way. And you play some great music. So 2 hours of some great uplifting music.
Yeah, absolute classics, 90s house party tunes. So if you're having a party that night, make sure you tune in at 10 o'clock.
So between 10 and 12.
In fact, Joy the whole day is going to be really good. We're broadcasting a lot of material, so the perfect time to tune in.
Yeah, exactly.
Anastasia, last week, a 25-year-old man stole a woman's gold chain in the fish market in Mumbai's eastern suburbs.
Yeah.
And he was chased by locals. In Mumbai's eastern suburbs.
Yes, sorry, yep.
And he was chased by locals who had heard the victim's screams.
Oh, wow.
And somewhere between snatching the necklace and the chase, he swallowed the chain in an attempt to hide it. So he was taken into custody by police, okay, and they did an X-ray and they confirmed the presence of the metallic object in the man's stomach.
Yeah.
Shortly after, though, they administered an alternative means of obtaining evidence.
Right,
and
okay.
Guess what it involved?
They gave him a coffee or... That usually does a trick for me.
Bananas.
What?
Yeah, bananas. How many bananas do you reckon they'd give him?
Well, you'd have a few and bang it out.
Bang it out? Well, they ordered a basket full of bananas.
Right.
4 dozen.
You're kidding. That's punishment,
and
all
right. They force-feed him 48 bananas? They forced the jewellery snatcher to eat them all.
Oh, my God.
And so early on Friday, he was escorted to the loo by 4 policemen, and the chain came out, and they made him clean it.
Oh, my
so
God.
So they should.
That's absolutely. So intense.
They made him clean it and disinfect it.
I don't know about that humiliation, though. I think that's a bit extreme.
Yeah, that is a little bit. But how would you eat that many bananas?
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't like it. Hey, now, Warren, I've realised, well, I've been saying this for a really long time, but I had those beautiful, I was house sitting this weekend and I was also babysitting two beautiful dogs, Queen Sheba and Wally, who I kept calling Wally Benji the whole time. And I'd forget their names the whole time. But I realised how deprived I was as a young child because I always wanted dogs, right? But the Greek garden was way more important. So we were never allowed to have animals. And the result is that when I was babysitting these two beautiful dogs, I was initially scared because they bark. They've got a mean bark on them, so they're great.
But they
house
were tiny little dogs.
Yeah, they're tiny. But I'll be honest, I was trying to act really brave when my friend James was talking me through what I need to do to take care of them. Well, when they were barking hardcore, I was freaking out a little bit. Like I had massive anxiety, but I was acting really cool because I thought he's not going to trust me with the dogs. But what happened the other night? This really freaked me out. So I was watching a bit of Netflix, having really chilled out with them. They're lying on my chest. I was in heaven. They're so affectionate, right? And I thought, look, I'm actually really tired. I'm going to need to go to bed, right? So they follow me everywhere I go, which I feel real important, right?
Yeah.
Went to bed and I was really excited. My God. Anyway, as soon as I turned the lights off, I'm not kidding, Wallace lost it.
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding. He was going off. I was paralyzed in the dark, lying in bed going, oh, my God, the dog's going to eat me. I was actually freaking out so much. Anyway, I turned the light on and I'm calm. I'm trying to calm him down.
Did he stop as soon as you turned the light?
No, turned the light on. He's just looking at me like, the teeth. All I can see is teeth. I'm thinking, I'm going to get eaten in this king-size bed. Queen Sheba's just looking on the side, right? And I'm thinking, oh, my
She's
God.
She's going, prepare anyway, my like, meal.
So anyway, it's like, okay, calm down. It's all right. I turn the light off again, switch it off again, going, I'm not kidding, going off. So guess what I did? I got up, I said, okay, Wally, let's get up. Anyway, I get up, I'm walking around the house, he's just following me around with Queen Sheba, and he's going off. Like, I'm talking crazy.
Right.
Then I put the movie back on and I just stayed up most of the night because I was too scared to go to bed.
Oh, no.
How bad is that?
Why would, do you know
he
why
was
he was?
He was probably just excited.
Why was
and
he?
And I thought he was going to eat me.
Oh, poor Wally.
I know. Well, poor Anastasia.
Poor Anastasia.
So sat up all night.
So you didn't get any sleep at all?
No. I'm going to bed after this.
I have to teach you how to work with dogs. According to research, those who have a higher academic abilities are less likely to pass their driver's license test the first try.
Oh, my God. This explains why I went for my license four times.
Four times?
Yeah. I swear to God. I felt so much shame around it.
Oh,
my God, I'm smart. This is why.
And I got mine straight away.
Did you?
But my motorbike license, I did fail.
Did you?
About two times. Yeah, I forgot to put my indicator on.
Oh, that was the first time.
I was so nervous. I was looking at the witch's hat and making sure I went around it that I forgot to put the indicator on. So he failed me for it.
Wow.
So, yeah, they surveyed, I think, close to 2,000 people and they determined that brainier people were more likely to overanalyze things.
Oh, there you go. There goes. That's my excuse. I overanalyze.
You're overanalyzing. They think the test threw too much and ultimately it threw them off.
Yeah, that's called anxiety.
So it seems that it took an average of 1.7 attempts to gain the full driver's license.
Yep.
With only 50% of learner drivers without qualifications passing their first time.
Wow.
How's that?
Okay, so I've got a reason why I'm the way I am.
And now this will cause controversy.
Too smart for my own good.
Too smart for your own good. A split was detected between those with arts and science background. So those with arts had 1.9 attempts for their driver's license and those with science had 2.3.
Wow, there you go.
How's that? But I reckon it's all to do with it's not so much the intelligence. You're right. It's the analysis that you put into it.
Exactly right.
So there you go.
Maybe you should meditate before you go for your license.
Well, I've driven with
you. Just don't meditate while you're going for it.
I've been a passenger in your car and I must admit,
you don't like my driving.
Maybe you should just have a retest at some stage.
Oh, how dare you.
You do a lot of walking, don't you?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Look at me.
Do you listen to music?
Hey, no, I love music and I listen to music a lot and it's not because of walking, Warren. Stop making fun of me. But I listen to songs on repeat like crazy. I kill songs.
It happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm just a creature of habit. If I love something, I just go, I'm going to stick to it.
Because I find I do. I listen to a song on repeat. I get a new song and I think, oh, this is great, and I just stick it on repeat single.
Yeah.
Over and over again, particularly when I'm walking the dog. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so sick of it.
There's only one artist that I never really get sick of ever. It's George Michael, ever. I can just keep going.
But would
going
you listen to
going
the one song over and over again?
Look,
because he's got such a variety of songs.
Oh, my God, he does. But yeah, pretty much. I never get sick of him.
Well, some information's been released by Professor Peter Verst.
Oh, done it.
Yep. And he says, when we listen to music, it releases a high, a rush of dopamine in our brains, and we like to replicate it because of this release, he said. He said, it's hard to explain, but it affects our reward system.
There you go.
And he said, there's a few people that get absolutely nothing out of listening to music.
Yeah.
But it's not many.
Have you ever met people that get nothing out of music?
No, most people I know like it.
My first partner of 6 years just did not get music. Like, I'd noticed...
At all.
No reaction to any great song. I used to be quite puzzled by it, but there you go, it's a thing.
Well, he said he liked...
I just thought she was dead inside.
He likened the urge to play songs on repeat to any other kind of addiction, like food or drugs.
Yeah. And look, I want to go back to talking about my girlfriend.
Talk about your girlfriend.
You know what? She didn't like music. I always thought, are you dead inside? But put her on the dance floor and, mate,
she'd spin
around like a crazy woman. What's that all about?
That sounds like me.
Anyway, go on, back to you.
He also says... He says there's also a reason why we get sick of them after our endless repeats as well. And I quote, he says, if you listen to something a bunch of times, it makes its way to the other end of the spectrum and we stop learning anything new when we listen to it. And then we get bored.
Yeah, do you think people feel like that about our show?
Yeah, probably. Anastasia, that's it for us.
It is another day in the office with you and me, but we are going to be back Thursday and Friday, which is really exciting. Now, if you miss us, which you probably will, you need to just head over to our Facebook page, type in Anastasia and Warren, and you'll get all our weekly podcasts.
Yep.
And get to interact with us, or iTunes, which is even better.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.